Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Take off your coats.
Yeah. Take off your coat.
Yo, look at my hair. Goodness gracious. What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west.
Little staticky right there, dog.
Well, I had a winter hat on, dude. I'm in the stream if you want to check out my hair.
You got gray hair growing, Jay.
Bro, I'm 43 and stressed.
No, I never knew you had gray hair, but you got it going on right there, brother.
I'll show them to the stream.
All over here.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I got one kicking right in here.
The only thing I'll point out is the amount of hair I have versus the amount of hair.
But you know what? Ball is sexy, homie. I'm just telling you straight up.
All
ages. Can I rub your head? Yeah, go ahead, baby.
I have never asked you that, sir.
I didn't say men. Don't want you to ask me. Let's get that straight.
I complain about where I live a fair amount. Obviously, they should sell beer in the grocery store, but I have a new top of the list item for the people of Montgomery County.
What's that?
To make these decisions. Put the kids back to school, please. Put the kids
back
to school.
Montgomery County has it. Fairfax County has it. Stafford. Most of Virginia didn't.
Is D.C. back in?
D.C. went back today.
I got the little school my kids go to is, I don't know, but a mile from the D.C. line.
But what
they should go with D.C.
But see what
because
I keep.
Because Montgomery County's so big, I understand like Damascus might be messed up.
See, it has nothing to do with the fact that your kid's been close to D.C. It's about the whole state. That's the same thing that happens with Loudoun County and Fairfax. There are parts of Fairfax that got a lot more, and there are parts that didn't get a lot. So ultimately, you can't say, oh, you all go back to school. Get an advantage over the other idiots because they got more snow.
But this is a Catholic school. Like, don't it doesn't have to be regulated by the county.
But the Catholic school got to go along with something.
Start
like
your own.
The NFLPA.
Revolt.
The NFLPA normally goes along with whatever the damn government is doing. So my daughter, she don't care. She be looking at the TV. Oh, is the government going to work tomorrow? I'm like, nah, oh, good. Because she knows she's not going.
Please, listen, the roads are fine. B and I just drove out here, and let's be honest, Brian, we both drove out here in a little bit of a hurry, and we made it just fine.
Hey, my area was cool. I got a little sitting at home, chilling. I'm like, man, I'm going right up the street. Then I look, I was like, oh, hell. It's 19 minutes to get there.
You know what was remarkable, dude, is so I did the alt cast last night, and I had to drive down to Cap 1. And so my house to Cap 1, my house to everywhere, is seemingly I just take Massachusetts Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the only place I go regularly that I don't take Mass Ave is coming out here. And I even take Mass Ave for like a hot second before I jump down to Clara Barton. But so from my house, which is basically where Mass Ave ends in Maryland, all the way down to Capital One, I had no issues, even in my neighborhood, until I got to 6th Street Northwest. 6th and H, making the right on 6th to go to cut down towards the arena, was completely untouched. Like, I don't understand how a downtown busy-ass street like that could be, like, I swear the dude that was in charge of plowing that Chinatown area just, like, got stoned and forgot that one street. Like, everything else was perfect except one street. It was bizarre.
You know what it probably was? Probably was a car sitting there parked.
Yeah, somebody just messed it up.
Those that don't move their cars, what they'll do, they'll plow you in, and then they just stop plowing, and then you get towed, and they will complain about you. But the whole thing, like, when I left D.C. yesterday, there were roads that were untouched. They were rolled out here. They were taken care of.
I will throw a plow on the front of my 4Runner and plow the streets if it means my children go back to school. Brian, December 20th is the last time they went to school. Like, my 9-year-old might not be able to read anymore.
Man,
like,
your 9-year-old can read. She's reading at home. The kids okay. I mean, they're going to get back to school. They'll be all right.
I don't know. I don't know if they ever will. What if they just call school till April? They're like, all right, after spring break, we're back in. That's the base we're on.
You get a little asinine now, Jay.
There's 6 inches of snow. It wasn't a foot.
They're not going anywhere right now.
They need to go back to school.
They're going.
All right.
You see, you pay all that money, then you want to go back to school.
Dog, pay for something, I think. All right. I wanted to have a conversation. So we are back in Ashburn. It is wild card week. Today is the day everything's going to get real. You'll hear from Dan Quinn about 12:30. Jaden Daniels will talk this afternoon. We get to be in the locker room this afternoon. So whatever kind of upbeat, you know, speculation Dan will give us about the injuries to Lattimore and Biotish, and maybe, you know, go down the list. You want to know what's up with Cornelius Lucas. Like, there's guys we're going to be interested in. We're going to hear about it today. They have to put out an injury report. The NFL is absolutely paying attention to these injury reports now because it's playoff week.
Hell yeah.
You know, rather than 32 injury reports coming out, there's only 14. There's a lot more interest on these, particularly by people in Las Vegas. So we're going to get some real information today, getting ready for Sunday Night Football in Tampa. And B, I wanted to kind of start by, there's a lot of unsung heroes that do a lot of work out at out here in Ashburn at Commander's Park, right? And, you know, the equipment guys and kind of the facilities guys out here, they do a hell of a job.
Yeah. And well, I'm going to go with the young lady.
Driving the forklift all the time? Sure.
She handles stuff, bro.
Dude, what's really cool is I've been out here since she got that job, whenever that was. I want to say it was like kind of during COVID. And I remember her driving the forklift when she first started here versus now. Dude, I was in the bubble shooting something last week or something, and she came in, was moving, made a quick left, had to go all the way down and around, put like 3 pallets of the waters up on the forklift, backed it all the way out. And you know how those doors come up and down and you got to like time it? I was like, damn, that was impressive.
She's good, man. And looks good doing it. She look, bro.
Stylish.
No, bro. She is stylish as hell. I just saw her. I walked in. I'm like, damn, the nails today? She got the nails flowing, bro. And then every weekend at the games.
Yeah, the big old jacket.
Bruh. It's kind of like what Denzel was. What was the more American Gangster?
Yeah.
She kills Denzel. She got more jackets than Denzel did.
I think of, have you ever heard the Dolly Parton song, Coat of Many Colors? Whenever I see that one coat with all the different colors.
Oh, yeah.
But B, today specifically, and I wanted to ask
you. I
think
she and Brian went to school together.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this. I don't know if you noticed this. That was Brian's phone, not mine. walking in and where we park out there.
Yeah.
You walk in and you can see the practice fields out on your right side. It sure looked like those fields were cleared. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So I get when you're practicing for the week, you always want to practice in the conditions the game is going to be in.
Yeah.
So, like, for Dallas.
You can't get Tampa here.
Well, for Dallas week, they practiced in the bubble because it was cold and nasty, and they were going to play indoors.
Yeah.
Tampa's going to be an outdoor game.
Yeah.
It's also going to be 65 degrees.
It's going to be 65 degrees.
You need to practice on grass that?
You want to go on the grass because you get a better feel for it. And then, again, we don't know. Tampa could end up being in the 40s, and it feels like it's 30. You know? They have some weird little stretches that goes through down in Florida. I go down to Florida a lot to play golf. And I'll wake up in the morning, and I'm looking at the forecast. It says 68. And my buddy, he's not getting dressed. I'm like, what you doing? Man, it's too cold to play. I'm like, to hell with that. I didn't come down here to sit in the house. So I go play. I got the course to myself. I fly around. They won't go outside unless it's over 70.
Yeah, I mean, you live down there. That's craziness. It's a different world. It's funny. I got to talk to Tony Dungy this morning, and he and I were talking. He brought it up, the 99 game, where you were the only person. He's like, man, we held them all out of the end zone until B. Mitch returned that kick. There were no touchdowns. Skinson scored a touchdown except you.
You asked him about the time we practiced against him?
No, but we were talking about he could. I did it outside, and he's like, oh, I love seeing your Christmas decorations in the snow. And I was like, Coach, my kids have been here for three straight weeks. He's like, I'm not sure I missed the snow days. Because he lives down in Florida now, too. Do you think, though, all right, so I pulled up the weather. Sunday night, Sunday with a high near 63. This is Tampa.
Okay.
Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 49. It's going to be about 50 degrees. You think these boys need to practice outside in the snow to get ready for that?
Yeah.
Man.
See, the thing of it, this is the mindset of the person that's not playing. You're looking for the easy route. You want to have the conditions as tough as they can so the game is going to be easy. Like, you hear guys always say, man, practice is way harder than a football game. Why not make it more difficult? You know what I mean? Because, listen, Jay, the coaches stand out there in all their gear. And what they always tell you, this weather's not that bad. The players can't put on all that weather, on all that gear, and really move around.
Right.
Coaches got on damn overcoat, got all kind of lining in their stuff. The player can put on a shirt, like a Nike or a Reebok shirt. They can put and they put on their stuff and they go for it. But that's what their job is.
Right.
You know, like when it's super, super hot and you're going to a cold place. You can't make it cold there, but you can make it extreme with the hot ass weather. And then when you get to the cold, it's gonna be easy. You'll be able to handle it. I think they need to it's more about the footing than it is anything.
Yeah, and the field you would expect to be in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah. I just think that when you go inside, it's just something mental. Like, we inside, oh, and that field is not as big as the other fields.
Yeah.
So
the bubble
is
tight.
You lose a little something when you're inside.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of gear up for this week, this game. We'll get to talk to Jaden today.
And they won't need anything to get them ready for this week. It's
no.
The playoffs. If you need to be hyped up this week, you're in the wrong damn business.
Totally.
You need to go home.
Totally. I think they're going to be quite hyped. I don't think hype should be an issue. You know, you've got to – I think you really – I don't know how they do this, and it's obviously going to be a challenge. Tampa's a good team.
Yeah.
You got to try to speed Mayfield up and then get him in the mind – of trying to force plays. And I think as fans and I would even imagine the coaching staff is saying this, they're probably going to give up some big plays, and you live with that if you can create takeaways in this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you give up, Mayfield's a guy that looks downfield and pushes the ball.
Right.
If you can do that, if you can counterbalance that by getting takeaways – that's okay. You can't just give up the big shots.
Hell no.
You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
But you got to be able to generate takeaways in this. And I think that's how you equalize a defense that can maybe get exposed on the back end is if you can force a fumble, can force a pick. Mayfield did tie for the NFL lead in interceptions. And I think that's got to be the focus is just speeding him up. Now, he can play well.
Well, you can speed him up. Also, you can make sure he holds the ball. Because, see, the thing that happens is you hear about coverage sacks.
Yeah.
Hell, what if we have some different looks in the secondary that makes him have to hold the ball a little longer? Maybe somebody gets to him. You know what I'm saying? So the thing of you just want to take any quarterback out of rhythm. And once they're out of rhythm, whether it's them speeding up or slowing down, they normally mess up, point blank.
Sure. And you know what? In some way with Mayfield, you might be right, like, slowing him down might be more dangerous because he seems to thrive in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people at his feet, he's able to move. We saw that week one where they got pressure on him. I think you need kind of the coordinated pass rush in this one and not where guys kind of go on their own. And
come on, that.
Washington's generally been pretty good about that, I would say. It's going to be quite interesting.
Strizzy just put out a point, though. See, it's cold out here, but the sun is out.
Well, what's good, when the sun's out, it starts to melt the snow.
But what happens with the sun, too? You don't have to worry about the sun being in your eyes. Well, it won't be in your eyes. It's going to be at night. So in Tampa, so it's all kind of little things that you can find a way to say, well, they could go inside, but it comes back to go outside.
Dude.
You know, everybody's talking about, oh, we don't have bubbles, this, that, and the other. Washington went to 4 Super Bowls without a damn bubble,
sure.
People.
Right.
Okay? They practiced in the elements. They went out there, did what they had to do, and they beat teams that had bubbles. So it's all about what you think and how you feel.
I think eventually, the way this ownership group rolls, I think they'll build a legit
bubble.
Facility.
What I'm saying is don't make you win.
No, I agree with that.
Right. Buffalo had a bubble. Buffalo had cold weather. Buffalo lost every Super Bowl.
Right. Since he doesn't have one, yeah. And the Bengals were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Okay.
I think, the bubble stuff is – because, dude, now that Washington has a bubble, like how far down the arms race rabbit hole do you want to go? Because that – what Washington has now is a bubble where the players have to walk across the parking lot to get to.
That's what we had in New York.
Right. But, like, compare that to, I mean.
The Ravens?
The Jets facility is incredible. They stink. They have
like
stunk.
The Eagles, you still walk across the parking lot. They don't have a bubble. It's more of a structure. But it's about as big as that one in there. They still get everything. They have a lot of accomplishments.
Dude, I mean, think about the two places we went and watched joint practices with this summer. The Jets and the Dolphins had significantly better facilities than Washington does. Neither of them are in the playoffs. Yeah. One of them's looking for a new coach, probably a new quarterback. The other one is keeping everybody, but Tyreek might nuke the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, facilities are terrific.
Yep.
And there was a problem here for a very long time where they invested nothing in the facilities. Mm-hmm. But these dudes are now maximizing what they have.
But let's think about this.
As they think long-term about where they're going to go.
We got the bubble. We were worried about this, and they were talking about this stuff. This team rolled in and got 12 wins this year.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's not about the bubble. It's not about all the stuff we talk about. It's about the horses you put on that football field and how they think and feel. And those guys went out there and got it done.
I didn't get to watch any of it. Did you watch any of the golf stuff last night?
No.
All my buddies were texting me about it.
I was trying to, but you know what? My eyes got heavy.
Oh, yeah? You fall asleep in the chair?
Bro, listen, man, I don't know what's up with that sofa. I think it got like a little massage. Because as soon as I sit on it, I don't care if it's daylight
or dark.
What's
the stuff in Turkey? The turkey that makes you tired? I think your couch has that.
The tryptophan.
Yeah,
man.
You got
tryptophan. As soon as I lay on this couch, it's like, oh, I'm going to sleep, bro. Every seat on that couch has a recliner.
Oh, breaking news on the fan. Everybody's been waiting for the big news. The Nationals will finally sign somebody in free agency. Per Andrew Golden, the Nationals announced they agreed to a one-year deal with infielder Ahmed Rosario. Rosario is an 8-year vet who has played for 5 teams. Last year, he was with the Rays, Dodgers, and Reds.
And you say they wouldn't spend money.
Our guy Bobby Blanco calls him a super utility guy. I mean, bang.
Hey,
take
man.
The over on the win total. Here comes the World Series. Lanville, did you watch any of the golf? I didn't get to. I was in Wizards Land.
I watched a little.
How was it?
I was all right.
That was kind of the vibe. I'm on like a couple big group chats with like guys I play golf with, and people were like, you know, there's something.
Did they like it?
It was more like a, there's something cool here, but it's not exactly it.
But, you know, when I'm playing all of those, like, video games and things like that with golf, and even the ones you can go out there hitting to the net, into the screen, I always wonder what the pros would do doing it.
Yeah.
So, did they hit some amazing shots? You know, I would like to know that.
Landini, did they?
Sure.
Man, if you don't know about golf, man.
Who's our golf expert? Where's Jeff? Is he back in studio?
Please.
Jeff, honestly, of the simulator fake golf world, Jeff might be the expert.
Here, in the fake golf world, Jeff might be the expert.
Here's the best comment I got was from my boy, Clinny. Brad Kleinitz in one of my group threads talking about the golf league last night. He said, the shot clock is neat, but they should have used it on the DJ Khaled interview. I don't know. Apparently DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Yeah, just kept going and going. Here's what we're going to do. Rick Stroud covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL. Rick Stroud's going to join us next. Nobody go anywhere. Be Mitch and Finley just getting warmed up on a wild card win.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Really excited right now to jump on the phones and talk to our friend Rick Stroud, Bucks NFL writer for the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him at NFL Stroud. Rick, what's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, Rick, it's a little cold up here.
Yeah, a lot colder than there.
Well, you know, we're freezing. It's getting all the way up to 58 today, so I got the jacket ready.
You know, that's the funny thing. It's like it'll probably be 30 degrees here. It's 58, and you all will really be freezing. That's weird to me.
Well,
like when I come down to Tampa and stuff, it's 58, 60. I don't care. I just have on a regular little coat, jab me a regular shirt, and go ahead and play. People don't want to leave out the house.
No, I hear you. Yeah, we're soft. We get soft. in the summertime, it's like 110 index. So, you know, this actually feels good to me. I love it.
All right.
That's a fair point because we were down there for week one, obviously. Yeah. And we were like, this is hot. So let's talk about that. How different is this Tampa team now than they were week one?
Well, I mean, I think they're different in a lot of ways. They're probably, you know, they didn't know exactly what they were on offense. I mean, Liam Cullen was coaching his first game as their coordinator. He had some familiarity with Baker Mayfield when he was with the Rams for about 5 weeks. But, you know, the running game that they had at the time was last in the NFL the previous 2 years. And, you know, schematically, it took time for them to groove that. Bucky Irving was probably the second running back. They were really featuring Rashad White at that time. You know, you obviously had Chris Godwin, who's now been out really, you know, half the season. And, you know, I think Jalen McMillan was, you know, he might have had a touchdown in that game, but he wasn't playing a lot. So they've had to change, you know, on offense. They're just, you know, they're a very good offense. They're very efficient. Their offensive line does a nice job running the football, protecting Baker. Bucky Irving has burst onto the scene as one of the top rookies in the league. And, you know, defensively, they're beat up. You know, they're not a whole team. I think they were missing Antoine Winfield. You know that he played in the first game. He got hurt in the second one. Mm-hmm. They had all their guys. You know, in safety, Jordan Whitehead had an accident. Now he's out for the rest of the year. We'll see if Winfield Jr. comes back today. He hasn't played in about 4 weeks. You know, and then linebacker-wise, I mean, Levante David is, you know, still beating Father Time, but they really don't have another inside linebacker that's played a lot. So it's been different, I think they're a better football team on the offensive side. Not so sure they're as good maybe as they need to be on the defensive side.
In the first game, they were able to rattle out Jaden Daniels a little bit, but he's grown a lot right now. Is that pass rush still like it was?
Well, Todd Bowles blitzed them mercifully. You know, I mean, he came. That's what Todd wants to do with rookie quarterbacks. I've sat with him many years, you know, out there at One Buck and talked about his approach. You know, to rookie quarterbacks, he's going to try to bring a lot of different pressures from a lot of different angles and see if he can get their head to drop. And once it drops down and looks at the rush, he's got them. And that, you know, but to do that, you got to win on first down. And, you know, I look back in that game and I mean, obviously, you know, Daniels is a different quarterback now. They can threaten you down the field, obviously, with McLaurin, and that's, you know, a weak spot of the Bucs right now. They're missing Jamal Dean. We'll see if he comes back. They have a good corner in Zion McCallum. But you can make some plays over the middle of the field. And you know, you also got to be mindful of the fact that he can run it and go, you know, anywhere he wants to go on every single play. So they're going to be braced for that. I mean, they struggled against Lamar Jackson. I think Jaden rushed for like 88 yards or something, a couple touchdowns against them the first time, right? So by the same token, you know, it's going to be a problem. And defensively, these guys aren't as good as they probably need to be. But they've made it work the second half of the season, and especially the adjustments they make at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's been really good. But what's crazy is the Bucs clearly got red hot for a while. What happened? I mean, both just last week in that first half against the Saints was –
yeah.
I imagine there was a period of time where Bucks fans were like, oh, my God, are we going to lose and be out of the playoffs? And then 2 weeks prior to that, that Dallas loss, like when things go sideways for the Bucks, what happens?
I think they get tight. I just think they play tight. And we've seen in a couple games, you know, the Dallas game coming off a great game against the Chargers, a really good playoff team that they just dominated, you know, put up over 40 points against the top scoring defense. And then, you know, they go to Dallas and they have a chance to separate themselves a little bit from Atlanta and they let go of the rope, you know, and it's inexplicable, but it happens to them sometimes. Turnovers are always the thing that gets them. They had some weird ones in Dallas, but they didn't come out really as physical as the Cowboys did, which didn't make sense. I think they corrected that the next week. They pounded Carolina, you know, and it's really when they start fast, when they have a lead, I think they're 9-1 when they score first, and when they don't. Last week was the first game that they've actually come back from not having a lead in the beginning of the game. So they're kind of a front running team. And, you know, it's hard to explain. Obviously, Baker has to take care of the ball. When he does, he's terrific. But they do start games slow at times. It's been an issue. The tackling is usually bad. That's been an issue. But they managed to kind of regroup and just calm down. They got a lot of young football players. This is the second youngest team in the league. So those guys can get kind of amped up a little bit.
We were talking earlier about Baker, like, speeding him up and trying to get him off his rhythm. But also, I think when he holds the ball and have to, you know, make plays and force it sometimes, those interceptions happen. He had a great year passing the ball, getting touchdowns, but he threw a lot of interceptions. What do you think gets him the most, rushing him or making him hold on to it?
Well, if he's in rhythm, he's one of the better passers in the league. You know, so any quarterback, if he can hit his third, fifth, or seventh step, whatever they're doing, and let the ball go, he's going to be very efficient. He's a very accurate passer. The throw he makes to McMillan, you know, to give them the lead last week is one of the best throws I've seen. He has a stronger arm than most people think. But, yeah, if he's not seeing the field or if they're covering up pretty good and he's, you know, pulling the ball down, anything could happen. He's a really good, you know, scramble-type quarterback, but he also, you know, has a little bit of Brett Favre in him, and, you know, he can gunsling it a little bit too much, and that can get him in trouble. So, you know, he's done some things with his feet, especially this last game. I think he had a career high rushing, I don't know, 60-something yards or whatnot, but he did it at critical times when he knew the coverage was in his favor, made big runs for first downs on third and long. And he's done a nice job of managing the game, but there is an element to Baker Mayfield, you know, and you got to walk that line with any quarterback. But he does make the spectacular and sometimes the really bad mistake. And you know, it just depends on how he's seeing it and, you know, how comfortable he feels out there. And like I said, I think they started a little tight. I thought Baker started a little tight. They only had the ball three times in the first quarter last week. That's not the way they want to play.
It's going to be fascinating. And yet, you know, the Tampa defense has been really good against the run and not so much against the pass. We're talking with Rick Stroud, covers the Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him at NFL Stroud, Stroud. You know, when the seedings came out and it became finalized that Washington was going to be matched up against Tampa, in your mind, how does that matchup look when you know Jaden can be so effective through the air and, you know, this passing attack has been at various times pretty darn deadly?
Well, look, you can't duck anybody in the postseason, right? And so, you know, Minnesota was a hot team. If the Bucks had not been the third seed, maybe they'd have to play them. Certainly Detroit, you know, is the king of the NFC right now. The irony is that the Bucks have beaten Washington, Philadelphia, and Detroit. And those are the three teams, if everything goes chalk, that they'd have to play to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're a good football team. Now, you know, are they perfect? No. They've had to battle their butts off the last 2 years and win 6 out of 7 to win a division where, you know, 8, 9, and 10 wins took it, right? So you can say what you want about the South. They got some young players, some young quarterbacks, all that. But, you know, I think that they felt, look, they know Washington is not the same team they played in week 1. They were fortunate to get them when they did. They had a nice day as far as offense went, and they put up some points. You know, I think if there's a vulnerability, they would probably feel like they could probably run the ball on Washington, I would imagine. That's what they're going to do, because this is a running football team. Make no mistake about it. These guys are fourth in the league in rushing yards, and I think they're second in average. I mean, they're the only team in NFL history to have a quarterback complete 70% in average as a team over 5 yards of carry in the history of the league. So you talk about balance now. They got it, right? So they're going to come out, and they're going to try to limit the possessions, because that's all you can do against a guy like Daniels, and drive the ball, get on top, you know, try to keep the ball from going over their heads on defense. And if they can win on first down, that's going to be the key. If the Bucs defense wins on first down, they can create some problems for the quarterback. But if they don't, then they can give up sustained drives like they did last week. They just simply couldn't get off the field last week. The tackling was poor, but they made the adjustments, and they've been a different team in the second half this year of games. I can't really explain it. So Todd will have some stuff dialed up, but listen, they respect this quarterback. They know what they're looking at. This kid is so special and can hurt you in so many ways. And running quarterbacks have had some success against this defense, both throwing and running the ball. So they're not kidding themselves. If the Bucs win this game, their defense will have to play big. Now, they got the two big guys in the middle, Vita Vea and then Kalijah Kansey, who's a lighter version of a defensive tackle that's really fast and gets upfield. So, you know, running the football in the middle of the field is going to be an issue for anybody. So we'll see how they play it. But I'm looking for, I mean, really, it feels like a high-scoring game to me. And if somebody turns the ball, that might change things. But both these offenses have the advantage, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It feels like a race to 40 to me.
Yeah,
you know, it does. Like whoever. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that, you know, this is the highest over-under of all of Wild Card Weekend. Both these, I think Washington's defense, you might be able to run and throw on them. Tampa's, you can definitely throw on them. You know, you mentioned Kalijah Kansey. He didn't play week one when Washington faced Tampa.
Right, that's correct.
He's been a big on the interior there. How good is he, and how much of an impact, how much of a difference maker could he be?
Oh, he's exceptional, and it's something that the Commanders will have to account for. And it's difficult, right, because you have Vita Vea, who rededicated himself in the offseason and got himself in the best shape. Now, you know, he's still a 355-pound man. Let's not kid ourselves. But he did show up in the best shape he's been in, played as many games as he's played. He's double-teamed on every play. But his motor, his relentlessness, his strength is relentless. And then he creates one-on-ones for the Kansey, who, you know, 2 years in a row started injured. But when he's going, you know, this kid is undersized but quick as hell and strong. And now he understands how teams are trying to block him. He's been very disruptive. I believe he led them in sacks this year. They didn't get anything off the edge, so, you know, I think 7.5 was enough for him to do that, despite missing a good portion of the first part of the year. So he's really good.
He's a player. Now, I don't know that he's going to play. I mean, frankly, since they've traded for him, we've seen a very limited dose of Marshon Lattimore. How big of a deal is it, considering the history with he and Mike Evans, if Lattimore is on that field Sunday night, what kind of impact does that make?
Well, if he can play, it's huge. It's absolutely huge, because that battle we've written about, we'll write about it again this week. I mean, it's one of those guys that they've been nemesis, right, in this division and the NFC South for years. Mike's been, I think, thrown out of a game, fined once or twice. I mean, you know, depending on how the refs call it, they go at it. It's a physical, physical battle.
It's the WWE.
It is. And it's worth just that alone. If you do nothing but isolate on those two guys, it's worth your admission. And, the thing is, I think Mike, against New Orleans, only had three games before last week that he had 85 yards receiving, right? So Lattimore won, and the Saints defense won a lot of those battles. So if he can play and he's up to his usual standard, those two guys know each other as well as any corner and receiver in this league. They've been on the grass. They've been in the dirt together. They've thrown punches. It is an absolute battle. And so I'm looking forward. I hope he can play, because I'm looking forward to that. That's fun.
I've been looking at a lot of the little clips from their previous matchups, and I was like, damn, I don't know how they finish any game.
It's like a boxing match, right?
You have to have a refereeing crew who allows both of them to do that thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you got some of these other guys, they'll be out of the game in the first damn drive.
Hey, Rick, man, we really appreciate you making time for us, dude. This has been a lot of learned a lot here.
Appreciate it, brother.
No problem, guys. Good luck. We'll see you.
Thank
All
you,
right,
man.
That's Rick Stroud. Give him a follow at NFL Stroud. And it's funny, when you talk about Lattimore and Evans going at it, that's kind of two dudes at the peak of their profession going at it when they're right. And that's what you want, is you want to deal with people at the peak of their profession. And if you're looking to buy or sell a home, we're talking about John Leahy is the peak of the profession.
Just like Mike. Mike had been a landlord in Germantown for over a decade, and he no longer wanted to deal with some bad tenants. Mike actually lives in Ohio, so he needed someone who could relocate those tenants, find someone to make repairs, and basically take care of everything else since he doesn't even live here. John Leahy and the Fine Living Group accomplished that and got the property sold using their VIP sellers program. John and his team got a great offer and a great remote settlement, which led to getting Mike's home sold in only 13 days and for 100% of the asking price. If you're looking for a seamless home selling experience, John's guaranteed offer just might be for you. See for yourself at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
It's interesting because when we tell you these stories of successes that John Leahy has had for his clients, it's very rarely, not that he doesn't do this, right? But it's like, oh, the first time home buyer found their first dream house and everything's great. That is the best, right? Like my wife and I did that. Brian and Monica did that. But a lot of the times when you're buying or selling a house, it's because some sort of life stuff has happened. It's not always the fairy tale. And what's cool about John is that he can help you no matter what the situation is. If you got a sick family member or you got a move or divorce or whatever might be happening, these are really important times in your life and you need to have somebody you can rely on. That's what John can do. Plus, if you need to move fast, John's got buyers, dude. He's got buyers stacked up. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start pack. Begins right now. There he is. I think he's waving to B. Mitch's stream screen. There he is. Everybody see Kerwin? Say hello. Kerwin, they're pretty mean on the stream chat, so I don't know what they're – I say Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I don't know what people will say. I haven't checked in with the stream. I'm going to do it right now. First place on the stream today, I think, is Strizzy. Jupes, his comment is a Tupac quote, Jupes, loose lips sink pirate ships. Don't know specifically what that's about. It's probably unfair to attribute loose lips sink ships to Tupac because that has probably existed
since way back in the day.
You know you don't have your headset on, right?
I really don't.
yeah, I mean, that quote's probably from like the 1500s or something.
Yeah.
But I first heard it from Pac, so I'll credit it to him.
Well, I heard it way before Pac.
Landfill, is White Brian made it into studio? Has he made his triumphant return? Proud to have you back, Brian. I hope you did all right.
Hey, Brian, get a four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I need a new car.
What kind of car you got, Brian?
It's a Honda Accord. It's a decent car.
Well, as I say, four-wheel drive.
I had an Accord for a while. I love
it. Front-wheel. Front-wheel drive normally works real good, too.
What does that mean?
Front-wheel?
But don't most cars have front-wheel drive?
No, a lot of them have the back where the back does everything.
Yeah.
The front works better because the engine is up there and it's a little heavier.
Okay. Yeah, Brian, a lot of things for you to do, White Brian. B, we're going to talk to Greenberg next.
I like Greenberg.
Me too.
Greenberg is probably one guy in the analytics world that I actually like.
I think
most of them, I wish they could just run full speed into a concrete wall like Gus Rod did.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say about Greenberg is, one, he knows jiu-jitsu. So I guess I wanted to say two things about Greenberg. Greenberg asked us maybe last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that he wanted to come to the 106.7 The Fan live event at Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg on January 31st. If anybody else wants to come, it's tallyhotheater.com. Tickets are on sale now. They honestly might be sold out.
They don't have many.
Well, CK sent out that
note. They had like 20 of them left.
Well, CK, the Cluster Buster, sent out that note, and luckily – I remembered that Greenberg asked for a ticket, and I immediately replied to CK. I was like, hey, Neil Greenberg asked for a ticket. He's great to our show. He's great to the network. Can we make it happen? He said, no problem. So good news.
There we go, Greenberg.
Good news for Greenberg.
JP hooked you up.
We got him a ticket.
The Sportscast of the Year hooked you up, dog. You get special privileges.
Yeah, I bet. It'll be me and B. The Junks will be there. Grant and Danny will be there. It should be a fun night. White Brian said he's going to give me a ride home, which helps.
Wait. I don't know. You know, like sometime when I go to events, I normally can ask for certain things. So, CK, I'm going to need a bottle of Weller Black Label.
Yeah, right.
And some peppermints, the soft ones, in my green room.
I
don't get that, I don't normally show up.
I wish you a lot of luck with that. Do you remember what a S show it was last year at the Bethesda Draft House?
That was the first time. That was a freebie. The second time, I don't do freebies.
Doug, it was like everybody was fighting over who had to pay for the Coors Lights.
Hey,
I'm
just telling you.
I know you were shocked.
I normally do the freebie.
I came
late. And the next time I do the... Take care of me.
I came late with about 5 minutes.
Me and Madonna got special requests, man.
B. Mitch and Madonna. Yeah. Neil Greenberg joins us next.